Hey everybody, Chuck here. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that CritCon 2025 is live. Once again, we're hosting a game convention in Portland, Oregon this October 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Hilton Doubletree, right off the Max Line near downtown. Killscream is back with Killscream 4, a two-day tournament with two golden tickets on the line. It's 2 days this year, October 25th and 26th, with some amazing prize support as usual, and the Kill Team Cascadia Bounty Board for charity, as well as a painting contest to go along with it this year. This year on Friday, we also have Kill Team Doubles. You push two boards together and fight with your partner against another team. Deal with shooting across boards, sharing command points with your partner, and battle through three rounds against two opponents. This year, we have a bunch of other game systems too, including Star Wars Shatterpoint, Star Wars Legion, Horus Heresy 30K, and Marvel Crisis Protocol. If you took some of the hobby classes last year, don't worry. Painting classes return this year, along with Dan Osborne and Useless Wizard from last year. We have former Privateer Press studio painter Matt DiPietro and Portland local Selnar teaching classes Friday through Sunday. We also have discounted rooms available at the Hilton Doubletree. You can find all the info at CascadiaTabletop.com or in the show notes. Tickets are on sale now. We hope to see you there this October. Come show Connor your feet.
So I woke up this morning with a dull, throbbing pain from the nape to my neck to the back of my brain. So I went to the doctor, and he said, "I do fear. You've got the Vox Cascadia podcast in your ear."
Ooh, wow. That was nice.
Unprompted.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd surprise you guys with that.
That was real nice. Hold on. Can we do it one more time, though, just to get it? Mm-hmm. All right, hold on. You ready?
We got it. Oh, God. Oh, no. This has been a hot topic since last week. This
fucking... I didn't realize that would cause such controversy for the audience.
I mean, yeah. Ooh.
I mean, here's the thing. So if you don't get the reference from last week, Tyler came in real hot on Electro Swing. And Greg in our chats also came in real hot on Electro Swing and how did not like Electro Swing. Max came in real strong saying Caravan Palace. Brandon Bean came in real strong saying Caravan Palace.
Cody came in as a supporter too.
Cody came in as a supporter. Nick was like, that was my favorite part of the podcast, was the Electro Swing outro that we played for like 3 minutes.
No, that's just cruel, Nick. Like, geez, man, like we got to step up our game, you guys. Like, that can't be the best part of the podcast.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better. It's not my go-to, but my go-to is Male Manipulator music, so it's like a net neutral, I guess, maybe positive.
Hey, like, I don't know. It's net neutral. That's all you feel when you hear that?
No, I meant like my change of pace would be like if we were to choose a song to exit on, it'd be Male Manipulator. And I figured most people would probably hate that more, or at bare minimum be like net neutral on that change.
I mean, like, you know, Male Manipulator music has far wider reach, probably the most popular music, like, you know, versus like my music, you know, like, no, who, like, yes, we do have our doom metal fans, you know, death metal fans in the audience here, but I don't think that's what people want to hear on the outro. Let us know what the appropriate music for the intro and outro for our podcast is.
Well, the nice thing is I have like multiple queued up. So,
oh God.
Yeah, not only can you, I mean, this is happening, Tyler. This is happening right now. This isn't a bad mushroom trip.
Sorry, like, it feels like a bad mushroom trip. Like, are we in a fucking Cuphead game?
Oh, hold on. Cuphead music's great, though.
That's fine. But like, why would I don't want to listen to it outside of that? You know, like.
Okay, I was gonna be like, hey, we can't be going for Cuphead. That's a great game.
Royalty free Electro Swing. Also, like, at least Caravan Palace is like, if you have to listen to Electro Swing, they're tolerable. You know, like, I like some weird music, so I probably can't criticize, like, the band I posted earlier, Stratosphere. They're pretty weird. Some people won't like that. They probably think it's worse than Electro Swing.
By the way, Caravan Palace is not exactly like a niche band. Their Lone Digger has 439 million views on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it was like there was like a minute where, like, I think Reddit really liked it. Like, that tracks, you know? It's very Reddit music.
I mean, it feels like very Reddit music, but this is the Vox Cascadia podcast, and we're going to talk about something that Tyler does approve of, approved ops. Hey.
Hit the rim shot sound effect.
Hey, hold on. I got to scroll over. Hold on.
Just a second. You filled it up with, thank you. You filled it up with too much electro swing, and now you can't find the ones we actually need on demand.
Well, I've got electro swing. I've got cyberpunk. I've got also like a compilation of you and Brandon Bean snoring.
Nice. Those are obviously critical to the listening experience of Vox Cascadia.
Pretty much. And then the best one ever.
Rock and Stone.
So, you know, nice.
We'll never top that one.
No, pretty much. So, before we get to approved ops, let's talk about the excitement from this last weekend. Tomb World. We got the boxes in our hands because we're not the cool kids. We don't have the, we don't get that influencer deal yet. Tyler, how you working on that?
We'll see. Maybe if some projects go good, maybe they'll be nice to us.
Well, I mean, we're the number one kill team podcast from the Northwest.
Absolutely.
You know,
so if you have a more popular kill team podcast out of Oregon or Washington, send it to us. We'd like to listen and also maybe meet you. Be weird if we didn't know you.
Watch us just get dumpstered on some podcast that's actually like, oh, actually, yeah, we're actually on basic cable, like deep late at night. But yeah, we have a deal. So, but we got Kill Team. We got the Tomb World boxes this weekend. I think nothing, there's no more besides rolling a bunch of crits, there's no more satisfying feeling than slicing through the adhesive tape that holds together a box and sliding that top off. And then looking at all the fucking damaged stuff that was in the box.
Did you get a lot of damaged stuff in yours?
My board was so I ended up with I got two boxes.
Look mostly at this rich guy.
Yeah, I know. Like just baller. No, I'm trying to get Tomb World boards ready so you can play on them at Killscream, Connor. So I bought two boxes mostly so we could have the terrain. I do want the Death Watch. I'm actually going to be hooking up with Stefan Neugebauer tomorrow to get him some Canoptic stuff. Yesterday when you hear this, but the Noog's going to be in town, and we're going to get him. I'm going to get him the Canoptic team from one of the boxes.
Oh yeah, he lives up here now.
He's going to school in Corvallis.
That's up here compared to Utah.
That's like still like 2 hours from Portland. That's like I could drive to you in that time.
Yeah, about that. Yeah,
pretty close. If you met me like in Tacoma. So I got two boxes. The first, I haven't opened the second box yet. The first box, the board had a little bit of damage to it, and then I found some bits in the bottom. One of the bits was just like a set of those packs that have like the pouches and a grenade on it, which is fine. It broke off clean, but then also there's like one like claw from a random Necron guy that I don't know where it goes.
It's gonna be your Necron leader, I think, is what I've been seeing a lot of them are
potentially. So yeah. But how was your box, Tyler?
You know, mine was pretty good. I had like one of the corners broken off, and then kind of an ominous thing. The only other thing broken off was two Dark Angel's heads.
Wow.
Kind of sounds like a threat
because they were like hiding from stuff.
They were hooded, you know, like generally that's the Dark Angel's head.
So both the, no. Actually, I did. I finished up building my plasmas, and I put the. I think I used the heavy intercessor shoulder, but I put the on my plasma. I put the Dark Angel shoulder and the hooded head actually too. So,
good boy.
Have you been kitbashing any of the other ones, Chuck, or did you do one kitbash and that's all we're getting?
You know what I did? I actually. I took the Aegis and the Hammer guy, the Demolisher, I think it is, are both on the same body, and so they're kind of two big melee guys are kind of the same static pose. So I swapped it out. I actually took the one of the gunners and swapped him. So that was a little bit of kit bashing I did. So
you know what? We'll take it.
Nice. Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. With this, baby steps, right?
Yeah. Like Chuck's first real kit bash for anyone that hasn't seen the photo. He just took Dominion Zephon head and threw it on his sergeant, but hey, we'll take it.
There's a Blood Angel shoulder there too from a totally different kit.
Yeah, that's three kits.
Yeah, three kits in one. Mm-hmm. And I spent like another $50 because, you know, baller on a set of the jump pack intercessors. So I could get jump packs because I watched one stupid Death Watch video and saw that half of them had jump packs. I was like, that's really cool. So my Aegis and my Demolisher have jump packs too.
That is pretty cool.
Then, yeah, you can, you know, maybe proxy them into Raptors or something later on.
Maybe.
You'll be ready to go with some Loyalist Raptors. Kit bash a whole team?
You know, you act like I haven't kit bashed. I've got a real fucking cool Dante that I did a long ass time ago. Yeah, and it was, yeah, so I did a Dominion Zephon into a Dante before the new Dante came out. And I think it turned out pretty fucking sweet. And
that's it looked pretty good.
Six or seven kits. So there's some like Milliput in there. Like,
ooh, he getting fancy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Connor, how was your Tomb World box? I said you were super excited to open it. You busted into it. You have not stopped playing with it the entire time.
Yeah, that's all inaccurate. I opened the box. Everything, for the most part, seemed to be in pretty good condition. I didn't notice anything missing. I grabbed the sprue of Necron Warriors and then closed the box.
Okay, well, you get the lamest thing out of it.
Yeah. Well, I need them to make Chaos Androids because I've been... you know, making them my Necron team, but like you've been seeing the photos and I've been posting a few of them, but like I've got my Ambot or what are they? Yeah, Ambots, like as my Tomb Crawlers, they're getting built. I'm getting frustrated though because all the cool shit I want to throw in the backs keep falling off and it's making me sad. So now I'm just painting up my Warp Coven instead.
Have you ever thought about like gluing them to the back?
Yeah, I have, Chuck, but I'm trying to glue little tiny dangly bits, and even with like the plastic glue, it's too much. So I think I'm gonna have to like do dollar store like fake jewelry, you know, the little chains and stuff like that you get from Michaels, and use that instead.
Connor, do you have a hard time keeping your dangly bits in place?
Yes. We'll go with that.
Your dangly bits just like all over the place and just falling out and...
Yeah, it's a side effect of the diabetes, unfortunately.
I don't know a lot about diabetes, but
if you don't take care of it, it can cause dangly bit issues.
Okay, all right, well, I'm glad you're taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, how's your dangly bits going?
They're doing pretty good, you know, like no issues here, strong and steady.
Good, glad to hear it.
You know, and as you get, you know, around 40 or older, that's a good sign. You know, you'll understand someday, Connor.
I don't think I'm going to make it there.
Probably not.
Chuck's gonna be that's what we all think.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd make it to 40 either. I
could you even conceptualize 40?
No, and actually I was talking to one of my employees about this today. It was that like when I remember when my dad turned 40. And so that would have been like 1990. I would have been like 11. And I remember his like over the hill party and it was dark and it was like, you know, a bunch of like, inappropriate stuff. Like they got him a cane and the cane had on it like a bicycle horn. It had on it like reflectors. And then at the very bottom of the cane, it had a mirror on like a little, like arm that was pointing up.
Okay.
So like a, you know, so
so your dad's a perv is what you're telling me.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the people that bought this for my dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be honest. I was not understanding what that mirror was for. That's gross.
No, Tyler's like, you know, Tyler had one on the end of his shoes for a long time, so he knows what's up.
You know, we did one for my dad also when he was 40, which like that seems weird because it was like a bunch of like tombstones and shit. Also, you know, like it was they were pretty grim in the 90s, I feel like.
No, yeah, my 40th 6 years ago was we did it at a sports bar up the street called Big Isles, which is like huge, ton of TVs, and we had a Nerf gun fight.
Did you like break your hip doing that?
No, I didn't break my hip doing that. It was something else. Okay, it was just taking out the trash. But no, we had like a Nerf gun battle that. Like 2 years later, I talked to one of the employees and mentioned that I had my birthday there and like, oh, we had some Nerf guns. They're like, oh, you had the Nerf gun war? I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, no, it was in the 90s. We're kind of like the 40th birthdays were like real dark. And
yeah, absolutely.
Although I feel like these days, like 40 is way different than it used to be.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, like, I don't think like 30 or 40 look the same as they used to.
People don't smoke as much.
No.
I make up for that for them.
You just smoke
not cigarettes.
Yeah, though. I mean, like, I meant like a
little
cigarettes.
A little bit, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of tobacco for fun.
You just, you get that, like, are you that, like, party guy where it's like you go to a party and
I, like, you know, you're smoking around you? Sometimes I just like to top off my bowls with a little bit of pipe tobacco.
I feel like that's different than just like
straight cigarettes.
Taking drag off a, you know, a burnout heater.
As the kids called it. I mean, like, you know, it definitely, you know, anyone wants to take a bong hit with me, it's an experience. That's a head rush for sure.
Yeah, I can't keep up with that. So, back to Kill Team stuff though, because this is a Kill Team adjacent podcast. One, like, I feel like this Tomb World box has at the same time has some kind of really nice quality of life innovations, and at the same time kind of sucks. So they didn't have normally have the cardboard dividers between like the sprues and the other stuff in the box. Now I guess they put the cards and stuff in its own little like cardboard sleeve.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had like their board damaged. I know I saw a couple people, I think like Eric from Gig Harbor, and I think maybe even Zarin had their boards damaged. They showed my board was a little bit damaged. I haven't really dug into it, but it just, one of the corners was messed up. But then at the same time, this box is thick.
It's big.
It's thick cardboard too. And it also has like air vents. So when you put the lid back on, it goes on like a breeze. It's just,
yeah,
like, it's a very nice storage box.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad everything.
I'll be using it.
Yeah. Too bad everything that came in it got beat up. Like, I know you, like, for our tournaments, we have a bunch of the Into the Dark boxes. I'm actually just going to cut holes in the bottom of the Into the Dark boxes now, but we have,
yeah, this seems like a, like, strangely useful thing. This, even a hole puncher can maybe do it.
Yeah, no. So if you don't have Tomb World yet, on the interior cardboard, there's like six little holes on one side, six little holes on the other side near the bottom. So when you push the lid back on, you don't have that like weird, like awkward, like
trapped air bubble thingy.
Yeah. Slides right on. It's real nice. All the shit you got in it's messed up, but besides
only that, I think I got lucky. I was like, oh, this seems like a good box. And then I opened Discord and I was like, this game really fucked up, and that was a bummer.
You know, I have yet to experience the issues with the mold lines though too. Have you guys?
Oh man, I'm actually scraping the sprue gates off of Terrain right now. Have you guys done that yet?
The sprue gates on the Terrain, I expected. That's like,
there's like 10 million of them and they're thick.
Also, they're not that bad though. They're all like, I mean, if you have some nice clippers, like I've been using God Hands for it because God Hands. You just clip them, you rub a little, you get the nail file, you rub that over the top of them. They come out real clean.
Yeah, but then like also like they're not like the mold line at the top and the bottom of the Terrain, it's not like actually flat, you know, so like it doesn't set as well as it could, so you got to scrape that level.
Yeah, my issue actually, I think it's maybe one of my sprues was kind of warped a little bit. Like if you hold two of those same wall sections up next to each other, you can tell that one of the walls has just got a little bit of a curve to it. It's nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some people like the curve.
Yeah, it's, I mean, mine goes to the left, not the right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, same here.
Yeah, to get that, you get the Stranger. So, Connor, do you know what the Stranger is? Tyler, you know what the Stranger is, right?
It's been a long time since I've heard that term.
No, like, you say the Stranger, and my first thought goes to Stranger Danger, not whatever you're talking about. Maybe Stranger Danger.
No, so you sit on your hand until it falls asleep.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah. Have you guys, Tyler, sounds like you've been working on the Terrain a little bit too, though.
Yes. The Terrain is my top priority for obvious reasons. I have a lot of Terrain I need to paint.
Why? What's going on?
So,
I just got five sets I need to paint.
Did they show up?
Not yet. They should show up. I still have some clarifying things to find out, and I'll tell you guys more when I can.
I don't think you're going to be able to have as much fun with it as you think you are. I think it's going to be real.
I think it's, it's going to be pretty straightforward, but it's an exciting opportunity.
It is pretty cool. Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. So we'll tell you more about it later.
I thought you guys were talking about CritCon, and I was like, what's going on? Segueing into buy your CritCon tickets.
Yeah. Someone has commissioned me to paint 4 sets of terrain. That's all I'll say for now. So
someone really popular in the kill team scene.
Yeah. They're kind of fundamental. So,
I mean, yeah. So those actually, you'll be able to see those sets at a kill screen probably. I got one of my 2 sets. I got it all cut out. I got it put together. Have you, Tyler, fucked around with the like connections and?
Yeah. I played with connections. Not like really like how like layouts work, but sure. Like connections seem pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm a little interested to see, when I get paint on, how smooth they are.
Yeah.
And whether I'm going to need to go back and like sand, like make a little tiny sanding block to fix it.
My thing with it is that, how they connect. So they connect really nice. They just kind of push fit. Mm-hmm. It seems like they connect. Seems like they sit really good. There's no caps anymore.
Much nicer to put together, it seems, than Into the Dark.
Yeah. But my thing is that you're going to be connecting. And I guess we had this with Into the Dark, but you're going to be connecting the walls together on these segments. And I just wonder how long it's going to like take for the paint to like wear off.
So like with my Into the Dark, I actually painted it assembled and there's no paint in the cracks.
But
no one has ever noticed.
And I taped off my connections. I put paint in the cracks, but I taped off my connections, sanded those down and like used some like Tamiya tape that was like the perfect size for it. And so taped off all mine. So there's no paint on my connections. And I haven't really looked to see if they've rubbed off, but I'm just curious. My big thing too is with the doors. I wonder how long the doors are going to want to sit in there.
Mm-hmm. Doors seem like they may be a problem. Did you see who was it that did that? Was it Connor. Grant?
Grant, yes. Oh, Grant did the like sliding like from the top.
Ooh, I tried to replicate that. It did not go well.
No, really? Did you fuck it up?
I fucked it up, and I did this horrible patch job. I'll post photos of it. Connor, you know,
it was really cool. Grant, like, for context, for anyone that hasn't seen it, Grant essentially like cut the top of the.
I think he drilled it.
Drilled would be a better thing, but like either drilled or filed or cut out the top of it, so you can just drop the door into it essentially, and it stays pretty steady. But then someone always got a way of knocking it out, like when it needs to be removed.
I think he put like a little tab on the bottom so the door doesn't seat all the way in. It looked like, so it doesn't seat like it sits up like maybe I don't know, maybe like a centimeter or something off the bottom, and then you can like slide it back out. So if you're in the Kill Team Cascadia Discord, he put it in the hobby chat. So it's kind of buried now, I'm sure. But it was a really super good really idea cool. for that.
I just need to ask him what size drill bit he used, because I used like way too small of one, you know, and then like it wandered a little bit, and like then I got some weird and tried to save it, you know how it goes.
Well, I mean, the Necron technology's been like abandoned for thousands of years. There's going to be a little wear and tear, tectonic plates, and all that.
Yeah, seen some really cool kitbashes come through too. Jeremy Spake is doing what Jeremy Spake does, and he's looks like he's kitbashing the entire team. Like more than just swapping heads.
Always. You know, I can't wait to see what he does. You know, what members of what bands join his kill team, you know?
Yeah, where's the... have you guys built any of the teams yet?
No. I've committed to giving my Deathwatch team to Tristan.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to have time to do them before Killscream. Yeah. And, you know, I figure it would be better for him to have them now, so...
Yeah, no, it's very nice of you. So here, hold on. I'm gonna pin Grant's quality of life improvement in the Discord in the hobby chat for Kill Team Cascadia. Should have a link in the description or somewhere. But yeah, he's got it set up. So I think it's set in there, and there's like an offset. So there's a little tab at the bottom, so it doesn't go all the way in, and then you can just kind of push it up with your finger. Well, super good, super big quality of life improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. I did do the little like magnet thing on the Necron tomb there for the one little piece.
All right, so here's my question with that. I've seen that, and I wonder why.
Why? I don't know. Like, it's there. It was just gluing like a magnet, like literally two tiny magnets. Although I did run out of super glue, so I ended up like just burying the one on the bottom in like a whole bunch of plastic, and then plastic gluing it like in a tomb.
How did you run out of super glue? I have more super glue than I have food in this house, probably.
I generally use like the small tubes of super glue because like I feel like super glue goes bad fast.
I don't know. I get the Loctite squeezy ones.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, pro tip, Nick taught me this. If anybody's using the Loctite like squeeze bottles, when it stops like giving you glue, cut it out, because it's just basically one of those small tubes of super glue that has a nice adhesive or nice applicator. You can get like an extra like half tube of super glue out of it, basically.
Oh yeah, yeah. He showed me that. It was nice. Definitely useful.
Yeah. So I got my entire Tomb World one kit ready to prime. It's on painting sticks. Nick was down this past weekend. He got his primed. And I got my Death Watch totally built, actually, except for the heavy intercessors. I'm getting a body from Jeremy Spake for one of the heavy intercessors, and then I'll be my Death Watch will be built too. So been digging into the crafting side of it.
That's exciting. So
yeah, I think the Death Watch kit is a really good Marine kit, I think.
It looks really nice. Like I definitely thumbed through the kit, and it looks nice. Like everything is sharp. It's a great modernization of the classic kit.
It had some really neat things, actually, when you see the pieces just kind of like off the sprue, until you put them together, you don't really understand how well it works together. Like the plasma guy, he's got a purity seal just like on the cord on his plasma. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a weird spot for a purity seal. But when you put it together, it sits right on his thigh. It's a super well done kit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I haven't had the issues. A lot of people have had issues with the mold lines, but mine have been pretty good so far.
Apparently, that's like mostly the heavy intercessor that has issues.
Yeah, I'm getting to that right now. I've got the bodies together. The bodies haven't had any issues, but I haven't really dug into the arms or anything. So maybe that's where it is. So this weekend, we actually have the new approved ops coming out. So have you guys had a chance to dig into those?
I have not. I actually forgot to order a set.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
well, the good news is I have two things on order from our friends at Board Bard that are doing actually sponsoring and giving the prize support for our Kill Team doubles. So thanks for Curtis and the crew over there hooking me up with. I got my Tomb World boxes from them. I've got two of the approved ops as well, so I can get you one of those if you can't find one, buddy.
Sounds great. Appreciate it.
So we don't have the cards in our hand, but we do know what's going on. So people on the internet have been sharing those, and the missions are the missions, the TAC ops are the TAC ops. The big change though is initiative, and we've talked about initiative before. I think we talked about it actually with our East Coast brethren on Vox Scream as well. But there's a big change. The scouting phase is dead. The scouting step is dead. Long live the scouting step.
Yeah, rest in peace, scouting. Oh, yeah, beloved friend.
We have a moment of silence for the scouting step. Because that's the only thing that deserves a moment of silence in the last week. Besides the kids in Colorado. But scouting step has kind of been controversial since it came out in this edition, I think, more than last edition. I think in last edition, it was kind of just like, I can't even remember. What did you have in last edition? You had a dash.
You had the dash with fly. You had the order change, and then you had a third barricade.
Yeah. And so, and then in this edition, it's been
equipment,
extra piece of equipment. You got a reposition, full reposition within and ending within three. And then you got the ploy.
And I think I've seen equipment 95% of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's clearly the better choice, generally.
Yeah, with the
situations.
with free ploys, that's cool, but rarely is there shooting going on or anything that like would be needed in the first turn. And the reposition's useful when you want to like climb something, but with ladders kind of getting around that and generally being better, as well as then like you're not scoring on the first turn, you don't really need to move up the board too quickly anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've, I think of all the games of Kill Team I played this year, I think I took reposition once or twice. And that was only when somebody set up poorly and gave me a shot, gave me an alpha strike.
Absolutely.
Every other time it was equipment. Like, what do we call, what was the nickname we had for the scouting phase?
Did we have a nickname? I don't know, like fifth equipment slot?
No, it was something to do with smoking weed.
I mean, no, that is the scouting phase. That is the scouting phase.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it was just everybody took equipment. It was, and very rare, like, I don't think anybody took ploys, because since turn one is so quiet, nobody's taking ploys for anything. Everybody took equipment because if you're playing an Into the Dark, you probably need some barricades. And I feel like the equipment is so good, like most of the team equipment is so good, that you, a lot of times you want to take 3 to 4 pieces of your own team equipment.
Mm-hmm. And then need ladders or a barricade.
Yeah. Or a heavy barricade somewhere, you know, depending on board. Like, some of that stuff is game changing. Like, one of my big gripes with Vulcus is like how there is optimal terrain placement, optimal equipment. Like with some boards or some layouts, you want to take specific equipment and you want a specific side so that you can optimize, you know, your gameplay and deny your opponent like a lot of control.
Yeah, and we have some equipment now, like the razor wire that you can just kind of shut off areas. My favorite thing was the fact that the equipment now you could take like stuns or cracks or whatever, because whenever I've taken barricades, 99% of the time I've taken barricades, I just fuck myself. Like, I'm not smart enough to put a barricade in a place that's going to be advantageous to me and disadvantage my opponent. I just put it someplace where like I get up to it and I'm like, oh, I wanted to go around that. So,
well, hey, now you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. So, it's going to change stuff though, because it's going to be, I mean, there's some teams I think that got stronger because of this. If you have teams like Death Watch, where if you take the Sergeant, you have an extra equipment piece automatically. So you can take your 3 to 4 of that. You can take your ladders. You can take your smoke or stun or whatever. But it's, and you don't have, everything's a roll off now. So Connor, do you know how the new system works? Can you describe it to us?
Yeah, I actually played practically new crit op, new equipment, all that, or not new equipment, but new initiative, all that last week on Friday with Sam. So thanks, Sam. That was a good game. Not the Sam we often talk about, but a different Sam. Sam, who's an event organizer up here in the Bremerton area. But yeah, new initiative is you just roll off at the start to determine attacker and defender. And then again, so the person that essentially is attacker, they get a reroll to use at any point during your initiative roll offs. And then at the start of the first turn, you roll off again to see who wants to go first versus like all that jazz. And if you are the loser of those roll offs, so in the pregame, you get the reroll. And then in the first turn, second turn, and third turn, if you lose that number turning point, you get that number to add or subtract to your future roll-offs. So if you lose roll-off 1 in turning point 2, 3, and 4, you have a card that you can use once to add 1 or subtract 1 from your dice result. It's not complicated, but it's weird to talk about, because it's just a lot of like text on the card.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, there's definitely going to be some kind of gambling, you know, like there's going to be moments where you definitely don't want, you know, first turn, like you want to lose. That's what you're hoping for, right?
Well, I think you can also, depending on where you're at and what cards you have, you could make it so you lose. So
yeah,
you have a minus.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a minus, like three, you can very often make it so you lose like the final turn. But I think it's rare for me that I ever want to lose initiative, like minus the first turn. So
I think that like high level in like some of the new missions and stuff like that, they favor going last more than anything, you know? And the ability to manipulate the order you go in, especially if you're playing a very conservative game, which a lot of the teams right now feel like they are, you know, going last is not an issue for, say, like Raveners or something like that.
Yeah, because Raveners are just hiding in their hidey hole. So I haven't played it yet, but just from people smarter than me that have been talking about it, I like this because I think it's a giant feels bad when you lose all four initiatives.
For sure, 100%.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people in our Discord that say, like, hey, if your game plan relies on you winning initiative, you've lost a battle already, which I disagree with because I think that if you lose four initiatives in a row, it doesn't matter what your game plan is. I mean, you can still win, but I think that puts you at a big disadvantage.
Agreed.
Especially because I feel like this game in turn two and three, again, new Tac Ops, I haven't, or Crit Ops, I haven't played enough, like Tyler said, to know if they reward it. But like, historically, I feel like going first turn two and turn three gives you like a huge boost in your likelihood to win the game. Like,
agreed.
Because you, at least the way I approach the game is I have always tried to make it that even if I lose initiative on either flank or like I have two options for good opening turns. And I feel like that's something a lot of people should really work on. Like if you're struggling with games, because it rewards aggression. Killing a model and scoring a point is always going to be good, especially if you can do like both of those things in the opening of turn two or three. It does mean sometimes you lose initiative and then your big plans fall apart, but it's fun to gamble and it's fun to make like risky plays and try and set it up. So even if your opponent goes first, they only can answer one of your opening moves.
Yeah, I think if you have a couple things set up, losing initiative is not as bad, but I still think like I've had games where I've lost every single initiative.
Yeah.
And it just feels bad.
It definitely makes a difference. Like, it, no doubt about it. And
especially if you get some bad dice mixed in there, you know, like add that to the mix and it's like, ooh, buddy, that feels bad. Like, all right, you set up your second play and then you dice, you know, like you get all ones.
And you don't have seasons or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Your rerolls back into twos. You know, so like you're screwed and then you whiff and then that and then you continue to lose initiative. That just feels rough.
Yeah. And I think that losing the game, it's just a different feeling when you lose the game and you never had initiative versus losing the game and like had initiative a few times. Like, and it's probably just a mind game with myself. Mm-hmm. But agreed. I think that like, I feel like this is the story that I've told when I've come out of these games where I've been like, oh well, yeah, you know, it was close, but I didn't win initiative a single time. And I don't know, so I just think I haven't played it yet. Just had some like theory crafting, listened to other people talk about it. I do like that there's some changes to stuff. I was listening to Kill Team Casuals today. Which by the way, Kill Team Casual said that they're the final word on Kill Team releases because they talk about everything after everybody's talked about it, but we actually talk about it after they've talked about it. So we are the final word. but one thing they were saying is that maybe you just make it like if you lost turns one through three initiative, you automatically get turn four, or a situation where if you win initiative turn one, you automatically get a turn two and they get a turn three and you get a turn four. I mean, I don't know.
I think like auto like resolution of initiative kind of sucks, you know, because again, then you get people planning out like optimal. Well, I want to lose here, you know, ideally like I want to go second. You know, like I do think this is a positive change overall though.
Yeah, I don't think losing initiative turn one. We've all been doing this. We've all just been like, great, I'm going to take equipment, use equipment, who won the roll off, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like initiative turn one doesn't really matter as much. Initiative turn two is where it starts to really matter, I think. Unless the opponent set up bad and you have that alpha strike. But so I think this is going to But there's that thing though, where you keep losing initiative and it keeps feeling worse and worse and worse. I think this is going to be helpful with that. Cause worst case scenario, if you lose 1 through 3, you're most likely holding 6 cards automatic, or like 6 points worth of initiative automatically, and you're going to win turn 4.
Yeah. If you don't win turn 4 at that point, like, you know,
I think that is impossible to lose it on turn 4. If you've lost all the previous ones, even if your opponent rolls a 6 and you roll a 1, because you'll be adding 1, 2, and 3 together. So that's 6 right there. So you're at 7. And unless your opponent has a way of adding to their own, which they shouldn't, unless they introduce that on a team mechanic, you're guaranteed at turn 4 at least.
I think there is a couple teams with that.
Where I know there's teams that have rerolls, but are there teams that straight up add to their initiative score?
Yeah, I think there is.
Okay. So then,
Blades of Cain have had the like +1/-1 thing for one of their pieces of equipment, I think, for since they came out.
Well, even then, if your Blades of Cain can only add one, you still will tiebreak and get the choice turn 4 if you've lost all previous 3. I think
Blades of Cain will find a way to trick people out of it.
Maybe. I'd have to look through all the rules, but I think from my rough memory, if you've lost all previous turns, you are guaranteed at turn 4 at least, no matter the dice rolls.
Now, the only explain to me how exactly the cards work. When do you play the cards?
After you've both rolled, I think. We might have been playing that wrong, but it would be really weird to me if you have to play it before seeing the dice rolls.
No, I don't think you play it before seeing the dice rolls, but I'm just trying to remember how. So, like, say I lost turn 1 initiative and you won turn 2 initiative. Turn 2 initiative and we got turn 3, so I had I had a +1 in my hand, you had a +2 in your hand.
Yes.
I'm just trying to remember when we
both roll, and then I guess you decide. I don't know, like, I'd have to go.
You can both play them, right?
Yeah, you could both play them. I guess it matters for order of operations, like whether you want to play yours to counter your opponent or not. I don't know if there's exact wording on it yet. Again, I've looked at the photos, but I'm not recalling it off the top of my head.
Well, so overall, I mean, just vibes so far. Are we liking this and the removal of the scouting step?
I'll miss scouting, but I think this is better over, or I think the initiative adding and stuff is nice.
I think it's a positive change overall.
Yeah, it'll be fun to play. And again, hopefully it gets rid of those like feel bads from it. So
yeah, I think it will at bare minimum.
At the bare minimum. Have you guys looked at the new TAC ops and stuff? New crit ops?
Yep.
What do you think, Connor?
These ones are weird. Security no longer nearly as good as before, so that's kind of nice.
And security was hands and feet above all the others, right? Like, well, recon was real good. They're different now. They're different.
They're very different. Security, like, I'm looking at this from like the Rekka view. It seems like security is going to be real tough for Rekkas, whereas I always played security with Rekkas. I mean, you can plant a banner, but then you've got to just defend it. You've got Envoy, which is you reveal the first time you select an Envoy, strategic gambit in each turning point after the first. You select one friendly operative to be your Envoy until the ready step, next strategy phase, blah, blah. At the end of each turning point after the first, your envoy is wholly within enemy territory, not within control range. You score VP. This is true, and your envoy is not less than anyone. You score 2 VP. That might be actually a decent one for Rekkas.
Yeah, you heal too, so you know, like,
yeah.
Well, it's not. I guess it's not if you're at full health. It's whether you've lost
any of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if you lose round wounds and then heal them back, like through a medic, a ploy or something, whether that would count or not.
I'm thinking it's you still lost them, just getting them back, so I don't think it'll count for that.
Mm-hmm. But I know there's going to be people that argue both ways.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
That's what we do in Kill Team,
to argue about stuff. So
I like to take a look. Oh, go ahead. No, you first.
No, you Tyler, say something.
You
all right?
Yeah, damn it, Tyler.
I like sweep and clear. Sweep and clear is fun. It's kind of annoyingly difficult, as I discovered on the one game. Mind you, I've only played one game with these things, so who knows? But it was just like, damn it. It was a weird thing of like, I want my opponent to get on the objective and maybe score before I do, so then I can score this afterwards. But thematically, I love it.
Weird. I mean, like, it's cool. Like, they're strange. They're a departure from what we've seen, right?
A lot of these, yeah, definitely feel odder than we've ever seen before. Like, one of the things I noticed is there's no TAC Ops here, as far as I can tell, that care about terrain anymore. Like, there's ones caring about the flank, such as flank, but there's nothing that's about, like, controlling strongholds or doors or anything like that we've seen previously, like, either, you know, in approved ops of the last year or, like, Kill Team 21 approved ops. Or, not the 21, but, like, the previous edition's Kill Op, TAC Ops.
What's the one, I forget what it's called, where you basically, you're Peeping Tom, you have to, like, watch the guy?
Scout Enemy Movement?
Yeah, absolutely. That one's fun.
Yeah.
I think that one's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, because that's like that can really fuck with your opponent, where if they want to go and move up onto an objective, they can, but they're going to give you a point for doing so or something.
Real quick, before we keep going, I want to give a shout out to Zarin. We're recording the podcast right now, dude. It's 8:28 p.m. At 8:27, you asked where the podcast is. We're recording it right now. Anyways, back to the content.
Good old Zarin.
By the way, if you join our Patreon at patreon.com/VoxCascadiaPodcast, you can get the content early. Not this early, Zarin. We're still doing it. No. Yes. Anyways, back to the content.
Good content, right?
Yeah, good.
This is where we're talking.
What are we? Okay, talking.
So, Connor, tell us about your game then.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun one. I got very nice or very mean and demolished Sam. Just his dice did not want to work. Or rather, my dice excelled. Every time he shot me, he'd get, like, we were playing Nemesis Claw Mirror Match. And every time he shot me, he'd get, like, a hit, maybe a crit. And then I'd just roll, like, straight sixes, no matter what. It was crazy. It was also one of the weird times where I lost, I think, 3 operatives in turn 2. But still felt ahead because I think he only had a single operative at full health. 2 were dead and 3 were all like within 1 shot range. It was a really crazy turn 2.
But did you bring out like Nimclaw?
Yeah, it was my Nimclaw versus his, and we played Mission 7? Yes, Download, which is, again, we talk about weird missions. Like, I like these more looking at them than the previous ones, but they're odd. Like, Download is, like I said, Mission 7, and you have to, for an action point, control the center or the objective or the opponent's objective marker, and then spend an action point and you download the objective. You get a point for doing so, but then that no longer counts at the end of the turn for controlling that objective. Like, you don't actually want to be on that objective anymore, which is really weird.
So wait, hold on. Mission action download. Also, rest in peace, Robert Redford. Mission action download. 1 center or opponent's objective markers operative controls is downloaded. Victory points. At the end of each turning point after the first, if friendly operatives control more objective markers than enemy operatives, you score 1. Ignore downloaded when determining this. Whenever a friendly operative perform download action during the third turning point, you score 1. Whenever you do it during the fourth, you score 2.
Yeah.
The real question is, like, would you guys download a VP?
You wouldn't download a VP, would you?
I would. Mm-hmm. I did it, in fact. I did it. I downloaded it for 3 victory points.
Would you download a car?
I would download a car. I mean, fuck yeah.
We're calling the MPAA on you.
Yeah, right. What was the shirt I saw the other? I think I posted in Discord something about downloading or whatever. That ad campaign, I don't think stopped anyone from doing anything.
No, not at all. In fact, it encouraged me.
Yeah.
What was the actual? I know that you won't download a car, but what was the actual thing it was saying not to do?
It was also in the ad. It literally told you. You know, you wouldn't download a car, would you?
Yeah, but what was the thing it was actually saying not to do?
Download movies.
Oh.
And music. I think it was just like general.
Like, just don't pirate shit?
Yeah, we'll stop making 700 different fucking streaming services.
Yeah, piracy won. Piracy's back, baby.
Yeah, the thing is, like, we were like, all right, we're cutting the cable. We're getting this. This is so great. And it's like everything that happens cable in capitalism again. Where it's like
cable you, again.
You have the, like, the disruptors, the people that break the systems, and then they just ruin the systems for the sake of their stockholders.
Yeah. Amen, brother. I think that I think everything should have to be on all streaming platforms, and you just have to pay for one of them.
Here's my take. I think, as a sports ball fan, by the way, Connor, did you win this week?
I did not. I lost by like 14 points. It was a close game, though. I lost to the guy that was, I was actually ranked first after week one. He was ranked second. So it was a good match.
I told you, you need to give Nick and I your login so we can actually just like, we can get you some waiver wire stuff going on. Come on. I know it's just a weird email, isn't it? Right. It's like,
no, it's the same email and password I have for practically everything else.
Love Cortana feed 69.
Yeah, definitely. That's
bad password. Internet security
at yahoo.com.
It is bad internet security
at zipmail.com or whatever. Where were we at? I don't know.
We were talking about my game. Download.
We all know you don't have any.
Oh,
I'm married. I'm the only one here that's married.
Hey, I was divorced. I was married. Yeah. Actually, I'm still married. My divorce hasn't been quite finalized yet.
Well, enough. I'm more married than Chuck is. So,
by the way, marriage says zero about game.
It means I was at least decent enough at one point to have some.
It means you just found one. You know, like you could be like.
Hey, if anything, we have photo evidence that clearly I was putting something out there that was good enough. I just was too dumb to realize it.
By the way, like hanging out with you and your wife was super fun because it was just me and Sierra roasting you the entire time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so it's good to know that like the legacy of just roasting Connor carries on, no matter who you're with, even with the woman you convinced to marry you.
Yeah, she's the best.
He's into it.
Yeah, 100%. There's a reason I like mean women.
Yeah, Shadowheart. Yeah.
Yeah. Who else is mean to me? I mean, everyone is, but...
Pretty much. Yeah. Anyways, Crit Ops. Missions. What did you take for your... You ran Nemesis Claw. What did you take for your TAC Op?
TAC Op, I think I went sweep and clear. And then Sam, he went one of the infiltrate ones. I think
what was Sam playing again?
He was also playing Nemesis Claw, as I've said like 12 times now. I think he went either plant devices or steal intelligence, but he got zero on, but whatever it was.
Gotcha, because you dumpster dump because you're just a sweat lord?
100%.
I haven't had a chance to play the new stuff. I played one of the new maps. Did you play on one of the new maps too? Was it Vulcus or Into the Dark?
Of the new Vulcus maps. I've actually played on like four of the new Vulcus maps at this point.
I played on one of them, and the one I played on is one of the ones where you have in like the smaller stronghold, you actually have a light piece of cover, which was interesting because it's, you know, everything on the board's heavy cover already, except for like the three little pieces. And this one had like right on the point, it had a piece of light cover too inside the stronghold.
Yeah, a lot of them have terrain in the strongholds now, which is weird because, like, mind you, we're going off a grid system, so who knows how perfect it is. But it seems like, depending on which way it's facing and stuff, there might be times where you can't move through one of the sides of the stronghold. Like, you'll only be able to go through the right side of it, because on the left side, it's too thin for your base.
Yeah, especially if you got some of them big base boys, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, got the
all about that base.
All about that base. Yeah, the 50 millimeters on a couple of the Kineptic guys. You know. But yeah, I mean, people have talked to death about the crit ops and the approved ops. I'm excited for what the fuck? Are you okay over there?
Just my Tomb World falling off my desk.
Okay. I had a thought, and this is as the like TO person in my brain, we can do a lot of cool stuff with missions now because we got six new missions on this one. And so we have, how many missions do we have for this edition of Kill Team? because we could do real weird tournament stuff now. Because if we just like wide open, you want approved ops 2024, you want approved ops 2025,
you'd have 15 total missions now because you've only had three repeats.
So you got 15 missions and you've got six in each of the categories.
Yeah, because all the attack ops. New.
Yeah. So you can have some real wild tournament stuff. And then in a year, we're going to have another, I'm assuming they're going to keep like loot secure and transmission again. Add another six missions to it or something. So we'll have 21 possible missions and nine from each of the archetypes, nine attack ops from each of the archetypes. It'll get real weird until the end of this edition.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Bring back we're bidding. Or not bidding, whatever it was where you had to draw the missions and your secondaries and all that shit, like from the original Absolutely. Kill Team 21.
Yeah, next you'll be able to select three of them because you'll be able to select one from each season, right?
Yeah, I think the next fun. Like casual tournament, like Rum Runners 2 or whatever we're gonna do, we let people take approved ops or take TAC ops from your archetype from any season.
I think we just make them play last seasons.
Make them play? Why? No, I mean, I think we let them
like not like up. Like Kill Team 2018. You know?
Like, oh, okay. Like last edition.
Last edition.
Kill Team 21. Kill Team 18 didn't have the second.
Oh yeah.
Archetypes.
21. Yes.
Yeah. But I think you're gonna have a lot more variety. I think you know if for competitive tournaments, people are gonna be playing the new approved ops, but. If you want to just play like casual and fun and mix it up, you're going to have a lot more to choose from. And who knows, you may want to go back and play like, I don't know. What was one of the good ones from, I don't even remember what the last approved ops pack was besides loot secure and transmission.
Yeah. Maybe we make people play their faction TAC ops from last edition.
That'd be real weird.
We'd actually have to design some then. A lot of these teams don't like, I mean, there'll be eight teams
that
don't
a flashback. Have. It's a flashback tournament. You got to take something pre Kill Team 24.
Oh, fair enough.
We could do that. No.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, any like, we're not going to dig in deep to these. That's not what we're here for.
No,
we're
that's
here
not what people expect from shit. Us.
No.
We talked a lot of Kill Team. Greg's already pissed, I'm sure, because we talked so much Kill Team. But any like last notes that y'all want to talk about?
I mean, this edition or this approved ops has orbs, so it's automatically the best, excluding everything else that might be negative.
Mm-hmm. For real. That orb is like a great mission, great name. Way to seize the opportunity, Games Workshop with the meme, you know, and buy the orb shirt. It's going to be on pre-order for just a little while longer. DiceThrower.BigCartel.com.
Yeah, and... CritCon's coming up in, as of recording this, when you hear this, like
about a month out exactly.
Days? Something, a little reminder on my phone.
It'll be, today's the 16th. I'll be hearing this the 18th.
35 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, we got work to do, Tyler.
We're getting there. You know, we're getting the tickets or sales are rolling in. We want to see you guys signing up for events. We still have room in Killscream. That is going to get down to the last 20 tickets here real soon, though. So if you don't have it, buy them.
Yeah, we've got some great prize support. Our friends at Bridge City Hobbies over there, we've got a Tomb World box. Hopefully it's not beat up. I'm sure it's not. We've got like five combat patrols. We've got out of stock models that you can't even get anymore. Like there's a Ripper Jackson that's going up. We've got a set of Da Vinci brushes as well as some Army Painter paints for the hobby portion of it, too. Board Bard is helping us out with the teams tournament too. If you want to play the day before the GT, don't forget we got two golden tickets for Killscream. We have Shatterpoint, Legion, Horus Heresy 30K. We got all kinds of stuff. We're adding X-Wing pretty soon. I'm actually talking to the X-Wing guys. Yeah. We're gonna have that soon.
Nice.
We're gonna have shirt printing's back, so we got live shirt printing. Showing up most likely with a custom design that's only available at the show from me, and then also the CritCon stuff. You know,
can we get like a foot shirt just for Connor?
I hate you guys.
I will put my feet up. I will like I've got nice feet. I've got nice feet for a guy. I got nice feet for a chick even too.
You'll stand 10 toes down on this.
Yes.
Design. Okay. You know we can make it happen. Robot toes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be October 24th, 25th, 26th at the Hilton Doubletree in Portland, Oregon, right on the Max Line Easy Transit. You'll hear the ad at the beginning of the show, too. Thank you so much to all of our Patreons. Let me pull them on up. I already mentioned Zarin. Zarin bugging us about the show coming up. You can get our show early. Not that early, Zarin, but you can get our show early if you sign up for the Patreon. Like $2 a month is Connor's lunch money. So we've got Mark Meyer from Vox Scream. We're actually going to be, we're hooking up with those guys. We're going to be on Vox Scream soon. Thomas Travener, Scott Shearer, Ryan Hagedorn, Tyler's free tier, Keaton. We've got, oh, there we go. Scott, Zach, Rob McLeod, LAFC sucks. Greg, Zarin again, Holly, Nick, Sean, Sam, Suline, Cody, and Jenna. So, thank you everybody who helps us keep this show on the air. Tyler, we got to get those stickers out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, so, Tyler, by the way, Jenna's gonna be out of town for a couple weeks, so I think in the second or third week in October we do the hot wings.
Sounds good.
So
sounds like a plan.
We'll connect up to that and we'll destroy ourselves. So, but anyways, gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Love y'all.
Good night.